Hey Gamecocks, this episode is brought to you by Tailgate State. These guys deliver unique designs with fans in mind that you simply cannot find anywhere else. Tailgate State offers polos, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and more with new designs dropping weekly. The best part is that for every item purchased, Tailgate State donates $1 to the corresponding school's NIL collective so you can get involved with the NIL movement, all while looking great. Get ready for game day the best way. Just go to tailgatestateandco.com. Use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 146 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Tailgate State. Go to tailgatestateandco.com and use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. I am your host, Tim Cox, and man, the sports gods really opened up to us this week. I mean, you go from the conclusion of March Madness, which I'm going to humble brag here for a minute, but your boy won a couple of bracket pools for the first time since like middle school. So I was due. So I'm going to brag a little bit because that is damn hard. And it feels damn good to be on the winning side of this for once. Got a little bit of happiness out of the tournament after the women's one just like ripped my heart out. But nevertheless, you go from March Madness into the Masters. But also, you tie that in with a huge Carolina baseball series that's going on right now that I'm going to get into. And you're kicked back and you're like, wow, this is one hell of a sports weekend. You know, I was like, oh man, like we're kind of entering that slower period. It's kind of just baseball going on. Things wind down, get ready for the summer, things like that. But perfectly executed and scheduled by Earth that we have the Masters and a huge baseball series here. But before I dive into that, let's take a look back in this past week in Gamecock Athletics, starting with Monday. Women's golf beat Louisville 3-2 in match play, and then they also lost to Duke, unfortunately, by that same score, 3-2. And then they were back in action the next day on Tuesday, this time beating Virginia Tech, really handling business by a score of 4.5-0. So really nice outing by the women's golf team. And then on Thursday, you had the women's tennis in action. They unfortunately took the L to Georgia 4-1. But there is a lot of action going on this weekend from all different sports. There's going to be so much to catch y'all up on next episode, but it was a sort of a lower week, sort of a slower week in during the midweek slots there. But there was a piece of news out of the men's basketball program in that Lamont Paris and company has picked up a commitment from grad transfer forward Stephen Clark out of the Citadel. So all of a sudden, you got this man's following in the steps of Hayden Brown, and you have a nice little Citadel to USC pipeline. I mean, it's right down the road. You know, they're playing good basketball. Why not? Look there. He is an experienced player. In his 4 years at the Citadel, Stephen averaged 9.5 points, 5 rebounds, 2.7 assists, but his best season was this past season where his numbers really jumped up, where he averaged 16 points, 6.5 rebounds, assists stayed about the same at 2.8 per game. I absolutely love how Lamont Paris has leveraged the portal to not only bring in guys at positions of need, but bringing in experienced guys with lots of tape and guys that he probably feels like he knows what he's getting. You're not really taking a chance with a guy who played 4 years at the same place. You kind of know what you're going to get. So with these last two transfers, you know, although Lamont is getting guys with just 1 year of eligibility left, he's creating, in my mind, what is a more defined roster and guys with more defined roles, where Talon Cooper, that the last transfer we got, he's a true point guard. He's a distributor. Michi Johnson, you know, he is a point guard, right? But he has that itch and that drive to score. So now you can move Michi over to the two, or you can have him lead a different unit. And this guy, Stephen Clark here, he's kind of a that stretch four type of player. You know, he gets a lot of his points in the paint, or, you know, very, very short mid-range game. Doesn't take a lot of threes. Not the best three-point shooter, but that's okay, because that's going to allow other players to grow into that role. Lamont was saying that, you know, he likes the experience and he likes guys who are going to come in and be mature and who can grasp what he's trying to do in the locker room a little bit quicker. There's still a couple of roster spots open. I think it's three, maybe two left. And we are in the mix for a couple of different transfers. I would imagine Lamont brings in one more transfer and then maybe another player from the high school ranks. But Lamont recently said that he wants to rely on high school recruiting. And I think you can interpret that right now he's leaning on the portal a little bit more to try and jumpstart the program, because he needs guys who are experienced. We need guys that are experienced if we want to improve from this past season to next. But he had a quote that I really liked. He said, essentially, like, building the program, he's building his house. And if you're going to live in the house that you're building, you better be sure that you have a good foundation. And that foundation starts at the high school ranks. Guys that you recruit, that come in young, you can develop over time. But right now, he's just got to get some players in to really balance this roster out. And I like that, because you don't want to lean on the portal. You don't want to be reliant on it. You don't want to get all of your players from the portal, because some years it might not work out for you. Some years you might not have that perfect fit. So I like his approach thus far. I would expect us to get in on one or two other guys from the portal, but I am excited to see this roster begin to take shape. And, you know, at some point over the summer, I'll talk about any expectations I have for year two for Lamont Paris. Obviously, there needs to be improvement, but I think the players he's bringing in, coupled with the few guys who are staying as a core, like Michi Johnson, Jacoby Wright, Josh Gray, I think we're looking at a much improved, more importantly, deeper roster than last year. So really exciting news there, which, speaking of excitement, brings me to the baseball team. We'll review their last game and then look ahead to their big series later this week. So Tuesday, the team was in action in Charlotte against UNC, and finally, Charlotte was good to Carolina baseball as the boys won 5-0. And if you are a fan of pitching, this was your game. You were loving it, as it was completely scoreless through six innings. And, I mean, since we're all fans of South Carolina pitching, this was really our game, as the staff held UNC obviously scoreless and just to six hits. So very, very impressive game here. Matthew Becker was the opener. He threw three scoreless innings. Eli Jerzenbeck came in relief after him throwing three scoreless innings of himself. And this was a fantastic, fantastic showing from Eli Jerzenbeck for a few reasons. He's been a little off the last two times we've seen him. And the last time he pitched in Charlotte, against Charlotte, it was his worst appearance to date. And the team lost in a midweek game that felt like they should have won. And you kind of wonder, as a freshman, how is that going to affect him? And I think the next time you saw him, he was a little shaky. But he comes in relief this time in the same park against a better team. And he bounces back even better than anyone could have asked for. You know, he gave up a hit or two. Like, there were moments where he had to buckle down. And he was able to do that. I think it really shows his maturity and how mentally tough he is. And that's incredibly, incredibly impressive for a freshman. And I talked about before this game needing to get length out of anyone you brought in, out of the bullpen, the opener. To get three innings out of Jerzenbeck, three scoreless innings, is fantastic. Just very, very cool to see. Nick Proctor had the good fortune of going in just at the right time to earn the win, because in the seventh inning, the Gamecocks finally got the scoring going, and it really was a case where you just felt like it was coming. You know, the guys calling the game, they said, you know, that the offense is just too good to stay silent for so long, right? And it's true. Sometimes it happens, but you just kind of felt like it was coming. Jonathan French and Evan Stone got the two big RBI hits in that inning. In the eighth, the hits just kept on coming, and the Gamecocks were producing runs without the home run and really put the game away, which is great to see. You know, maybe it's not as sexy, right? We all love home runs. We know this team has some pop, and that's what you want to see. But being able to get a man on base, whether it's a walk, base hit, whatever, moving him over, guys in scoring position, you're getting that simple base hit to score a run. Those are the little things that make a difference. If you're all or nothing all of the time, a lot of the times that doesn't work out for you, right? Some player highlights from the game here. Evan Stone went 2-for-3 with one RBI. Jonathan French, 1-for-3 with one RBI. And then Cole Messina, 1-for-4 with one RBI. So up next, all right, maybe I should say currently for the Gamecocks, is a series against the number one ranked LSU Tigers. Now, you're listening to this, you probably know that this series started on Thursday. This is one of those instances this year where Carolina is starting the series on Thursday. So if you're a loyal listener, a longtime listener, you'll know that when I run into these instances where games are being played as I'm recording, we take a moment and we send good vibes. It worked a lot of the time in basketball season. It worked the first time in baseball season. So we're sending good vibes. Sending good vibes to the boys over the airwaves as they play this first game here. So your rotation for the Gamecocks is Will Sanders. He is back at it. He'll be the Thursday starter. Jack Mahoney goes Friday. And unannounced TBA pitcher for Saturday. So there's a few things at play here. Number one, this is very weather dependent. This entire series is very weather dependent. The weather Friday and Saturday in Columbia looks kind of nasty, but we've all been to Columbia. We know that it could be pouring rain in 1 minute, and in the next you'll think you're in a swamp, a desert, right? Dry as can be, humid as all hell. So I'm going to say any weather report isn't really taking into account what we know of Columbia, South Carolina, that the weather can change on a dime. So let's hope that we get the series in, frankly. But also, no Noah Hall. I did not mention him. He tweaked his back last series. You know, they made note of it. I didn't think to bring it up. I didn't think it was huge cause for concern, but evidently it was enough to have him sit out. So hopefully it is just for one missed start, and who knows, maybe the team can even avoid some of this with maybe one of the games being pushed or something like that. So definitely wish him the best and a speedy recovery. A lot of Advil, a lot of ice, stretching. Back injuries suck. They're no joke, but hopefully he can bounce back very, very soon. So what is USC getting in LSU here? Obviously, as I said, they are the number one team in the country, and it is for good reason. They are 25-4 overall, 6-3 in the SEC, and they have two players who are going to be competing, quite frankly, for the top pick in the MLB draft. So two different guys at two different positions that easily could go number one. Their starting pitcher, Paul Skenes, whatever, is one of them. He is an absolute ace. I don't even think his ERA is at one yet, but what I do know is that he throws 100 miles an hour. So he is a bona fide flamethrower, incredible ace, bona fide ace. And then their center fielder, Dylan Cruz, has a batting average casually over 500. It's like 530-something. He's got 35 RBIs, swinging the bat as well or better, really, than anyone in the country. And frankly, between those guys, the rest of their team, but our team, this is really the series of the week for college baseball. So we really do have to pray to the baseball gods that the weather does hold up, because college baseball deserves this matchup. We deserve this matchup. It's going to be a clash of the titans. Carolina, I mean, we're coming into this as good as you could have hoped, right? Playing as well as you could have asked for, and we're playing very well at home so far this year. So you have to believe this team is a confident group and that they're up for the challenge. I mean, I certainly believe so, because outside of their ace, talking about LSU here, I do like how our offense could match up against their other starters. They're good, but they're not otherworldly. It's their ace and then kind of everybody else. Obviously, they have a good squad, number one in the country. A lot of that, you know, preseason ranking plays into it as well. But, you know, they're not undefeated. They're 25-4, 6-3 in the SEC, right? We got a better record in the SEC, you know? I mean, we're ranked that high, as high as we are for a reason. So my crow to the series here, you know, there's a couple here. I mean, first is you're going to have to lean and trust on the depth of our pitching staff and our bullpen. It's getting put to the test immediately without Noah Hall. But if something goes sideways, Mark Kingston has to lean on it, believe in those guys, trust in it. James Hicks, you know, Kate Austin, all these different guys, right? Veach, they need to be leaned on, and you got to believe that they're going to step up in the big moments. My second crow here is limit the strikeouts at the plate when we're on offense. Last series against Mississippi State, the Gamecocks outpaced the Bulldogs by far for strikeouts, and you saw the result. They were having to battle and fight for the series win. This team is good enough that they got the win, but they were in a hole a lot of the times. So you have to find productive at-bats against LSU, because this is a much better team, right? You have to fight pitches off, put the ball in play, get deep in the count, and be a tough out each and every time we have an at-bat. I am so excited for this series. I really, really hope that we can get it in. I hope nothing gets too wonky here, but my goodness. Buckle up. This is a good one. This is why we do it. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.